Blog Talk Radio.
Open eyes that we may
black people, racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood if you educated, racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive, racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
A poor education in the hood you live in, racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think, racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 million. Over nothing.
so we are the government. $1 trillion flow coming from Egypt, coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, Duchamp. I've got $1 trillion flow, the slave train. I'm talking about all laws done by Robinson, the slave train, the $1 billion flow. You and me, me and you, poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yes, you can have that new Benz. Yes, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that. Yes, you can have it up on the hill, up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A. You can have the $1 billion. Your health is 100%. You 100% deal. You 100% woman. You 100% man. You 100% up with your health. I'm talking about the $1 billion flow. We are right for getting what belongs to us. Give me what you owe me, and you owe me $1 billion flow. I want what's mine. I want to have the best of life. I want the sun to shine on me. I want my fellas to wake up. People of color all over the world is in the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe you in California. Florida, maybe you're in Canada, but you're in the $1 billion. Maybe you're in St. Paul, Minnesota, Indianapolis, Indiana, which is about the $1 billion flow. It's going on up in New York, in Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on the $1 billion flow. Down in Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Phoenix, Las Vegas, New York. We're calling for the $1 billion flow. I see you rise up and be brilliant. Say I'm rich, because I'm in this $1 billion flow. I am the original man. I am the original woman. I must have my respect. I must have my education. I must have $1 billion. I must be rich. I must lift my brothers and sisters out of the ghetto and out of poverty. I'm in the $1 billion flow. Get what I want. Have what I want. I can get it now. Right.
$1 billion flow tonight in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King. I want to say to you tonight, Janet Thompson up to you today. She spoke real nice. She spoke about where Martin Luther King would be in history and what would be to happen. Tonight, Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King. Then Thompson talked about Martin Luther King. So I want to tell you something about Dr. King that you might not know about. That when he came to Chicago, Sam Cooke supported SCLC. He did concerts for SCLC, and he gave money directly to Dr. King. And lots of people helped Dr. King. Dr. King was 33 years old, a young man that went around the world. Gifted from God. His birthday will be Sunday. I'll be at the gift on Sunday. And Monday will be 100th birthday. But I want to tell you some things about Dr. King that you didn't know. I'm praying for you and you. Now, I've called sober to tell you about that, too. Because I want to know what would Dr. King say about what's going on today within the brown community, within the white community, within the black community. I'll go and ask and see what's going on in those communities. And before I say that, I want to tell you tonight, all you that are listening, you need to plant your seed for 2023. Get it in. I got your letter, Sherry, with the Pope. I got that letter. And I got something to tell you. Mary Hawkins, I got something to tell you. But tonight, we honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., drum major for justice. I want you to run your life starting Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. If you ain't got no car, just honor Dr. King. Be nice to somebody. I want to ask this. Stop the killing. The killing is happening with these young folks. We got to motivate them. When a 60-year-old boy shoots a teacher and the mama don't know where her gun is, she don't need no gun. And they don't want to say that she's a fault. She's an unfit mother. I don't care who she is. Black, white, brown, she's unfit. If you put a gun around a 6-year-old, something gonna happen. But when I was growing up, my grandfather had a shotgun in one corner, the right in the other corner, and then the draw and all kind of guns. Never touched them. Never messed with them. It wasn't in my DNA, it wasn't in my mind to do it. I want to tell you tonight, I want you to get ready. Because you might get a word that might help you. Talked about remote viewing. I'm going to do that start next week after Dr. King's birthday. We're going to talk about psychic warfare next week. And we're going to talk about demons jumping into people. I know y'all ain't heard that. They don't tell you that at the church. They tell you, be good and God's going to bless you. Demons are jumping in and out of people. And when you look at the history, all over the world, the wise men in Egypt, the wise men in India, wise men in China, they experienced that. The Native Americans up in the mountains, they seen demons jumping in and out of people. So we got a lot going on. This is Friday night, the $1 trillion flow night. I was playing the $1 trillion flow. I'm going to hit a little bit of it, and then I'm going to come back and tell you some things. Get your pencil and paper.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion
from LA
flow.
To Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Texas. $1 trillion flow. Houston. $1 trillion flow. New Orleans.
Where you come from and what you got to do. Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, I was talking to Mr. White today. We were talking about Dr. King. And in my crossing over, that was Dr. King. That was Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy sitting at the table. You know, I was interested in that crossing over to see what was the idea of what's going on with this country. And all three said the country is out of control. Who that's running the country is not, don't have a country at heart. They got the dollar at heart, and they got people they put in place, I say. So when I crossed over, that was Kennedy sitting there. That was his brother sitting there. Three of them at the table. That was Martin, Robert, and John. As they sat there, in the spirit, Mary, I was in the spirit, I said, where are we going in 2023? Perked up and said, the people must take over their minds back and understand their mind together. We're living in a double society. One white, one black. One poor, one rich. We're living in that mentality. And yes, what must we do? First, we must understand that we're fighting a spiritual warfare. Evil spirits, and they're able to jump and leap. And if you don't watch your control body, mind, soul, and spirit. The $1 trillion flow talk about the money. If you had $1 trillion, you could set up some hotels, some hospitals. You can help people get on their feet. But this society is set up in the economic thing that you don't get nothing. Okay? And the major corporations is not, they got slave labor. They just get what the kids can get a little wages because, you know, what's happening now? The floods, the tornadoes, all down south. Up in California, all kind of bad weather. And you want to know what's going on? Men have not obeyed God. They've turned their backs away from God. So when you go by a divine law, you can't lie. It's a divine law. And when I say divine, I'm talking about God law, not man law. Man will lie to you. Man will kill you. But the divine law of God is given to me and you. It's up to you to understand the divine law. Dr. King understood the divine law. And I want to tell you something. Well, you might know. You might need to check this down. Mark Clark and Fred Hampton wanted to bodyguard Dr. King because Mayor Daley said, I don't want no police to bodyguard him. So the police department pulled back. But there came Larry Hoover. There came Ford. There came Svengali. There came the other groups that stood up. And when they stood up to guard Dr. King, and Dr. King was on the west side, the vice lord. The vice lord stepped up and they put guards all the way around where Dr. King was living. Therefore, and the Black Keystone Nation put people around that house King was living. Larry Hoover and the black disciples, Mickey Caldwell with the Cobra Stone, they all was on the west side 24 hours watching Dr. Martin Luther King because the Chicago police had backed up. They had orders not to protect them. But those brothers stepped up to guard Martin Luther King Jr. here in Chicago. I was there. I know what happened. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight, now, Mark Clark and Fred Hampton was killed. They was murdered. It was a hit list. All the people that was guarding Dr. King. They ain't told you this. You ain't going to find this in the newspaper. They ain't going to give you that. Mark Clark and police, Mark Clark and Fred Hampton was killed on the west side. At night, somebody come in and shot him. The police and Abraham Hammerhand had to come in and kill him dead. He didn't have no protection. They went to kill, the hit was kill all the young people. They couldn't get Pepperlo because he had guards around him that run the vice lords. They couldn't go there because the vice lords in business. So they went over to the south side. Inglewood killed Larry Hoover. When the police got there, Larry Hoover had 20, 30 men out there armed. They left that alone. So they went to Woodlawn to kill Jeff Ford. Jeff Ford had 25, 30 men armed right there at 6 or 7 Blackstone. Police got back in their cars and left. Now they couldn't kill him. They trumped up charges. And Jeff Ford in jail right now for life. Larry Hoover in jail for life because they stood with Martin Luther King Jr. They don't tell you that. They stood. There was the Black Vanguard to protect Dr. King when he was in Chicago. They did that. So since the police couldn't kill him because they had guns just like the police had. They went back and trumped up all kind of charges right now. Those men been in jail for 40, 50 years. Don't you supposed to get rehabilitated? Larry Hoover been in jail for 40 years. Jeff Ford been in jail for 40 years. Ain't nobody said that. Ain't no black leader said nothing about the misuse. That they are political prisoners because they can change the landscape of Chicago, Detroit, California. They in jail. All that they couldn't kill, they locked up. And they in jail today as I speak. Pepping Dr. Martin Luther King. The West Side Organization, Chester Robinson, the West Side Organization, they was, Dr. King spoke that Dr. King said that this organization is one of the most organized organizations. That's when they was getting people dope. The West Side Organization come with methadone to get people off of dope. I'm going back in the day. On the West Side, K-Town, all down through there. Some of the brothers in jail, some of the vice lords in jail now. Some of the Bloods and Crips is in jail in California right now. Oh, some of the Stones are in jail right now. They are political prisoners because they can change the landscape. All this murdering stuff when you have leadership. They locked the leadership up because the leadership stood up to Dr. King and demanded jobs and destruction them. Demanded Commonwealth Edison and other organizations give jobs. They did that. And that's where them brothers in jail right now. Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to Chicago. We marched in Marquette Park and Inglewood. We marched from Inglewood to Marquette Park. And Stephanie Coleman is an alderman now. She was a baby then. And they had enough that they had nooses hanging up in over where we marched at. Yesterday, not yesterday, yesterday. So racism is deep. Racism is deep. And we have to stomp it out by the truth. They really don't want the truth, people. When you look at the job you got, when you look at whatever you got, it's because somebody fought. They might have been white, they might have been black, brown. There's a fight for the job as school teacher, for the job in the city hall and in the federal government. We have to fight at the march, at the protest. We weren't protesting to be no homosexual. We were protesting for the right to be a man, the right to be a woman, the right for women to have the equal pay that men get. That's what the right is. That's the real civil rights and the human rights. Dr. King come out, the human rights. Malcolm talked about human rights, and Malcolm X said if America cannot protect its black, we will go to the UN and ask them to protect black citizens in America. He got killed right away. Dr. King was killed by the government. Malcolm was killed by the government. Y'all don't hear me. And some of you are being poisoned now with the food, with the drugs they letting in, with the guns. If the drugs don't kill you, the kid, here's a six-year-old got a gun that shoot the teacher. The teacher is an educator. What his mama doing? She's so busy, might have been high, might have been on dope. The kid got the gun and went to school. Somebody told the police about it. And they couldn't find the gun. What kind of cop we got now? See what happened down in Texas? They killed all them children with them assault rifles. You couldn't identify them. They had to get the teeth. The difficult assault rifle knocked your arm off, knocked your thigh off. That's how powerful assault rifle is. And in Chicago, I want to say this, in Chicago they passed the bill. You can't buy no assault weapon. And if any police in Illinois don't uphold that law, they're going to have to resign. This law got to stop the killing and save lives. That's what Martin Luther King was about. And that's what you ought to be about, saving your fathers, your mother, your children, because they found out they had five teenagers and robbed 20, 30 people. How old are the teenagers? 13, 14, 15. They're out robbing with pistols, sticking guns on people, taking their cell phones, taking their money. Kids, they're supposed to be in school. Our education system got to be rebooted. They used to have kids to learn how to do be a carpenter, bricklayer. They stopped all that. They kick them out of school and they in the street robbing and breaking in people's houses. This is the real deal. This was happening today. This was happening all over the country. The mass murder and killing of human beings. It's the mass murder of kids got guns and they shoot at one somebody and kill somebody else. Shoot at somebody else and kill an innocent bystander. This happened over and over. This Dr. King birthday should wake us up so that we have to come together. Red, black, brown, whoever he is, those that coming for the truth, if you want the truth. I wanted to share that with you, but you might not know what happened in Chicago. See, these young boys in jail, they supposed to get killed. They couldn't get killed because they had protection, they had their own law. What's happening in our community, we need community policing. You got police coming from another neighborhood. You got kids retarded, they shoot them. One lady had a butcher knife, they shot her 5 times in Chicago. So the police, we got some rogue police. They rogue. All they want, they bit on killing. You see what happened up in Minnesota to George Floyd, and George Floyd just one or the other. It's many have died at the hand of the police. But I ain't watching them. You got rogue police on the force. You got rogue people in the street. You got thugs in the street. You got urban terrorists in the street. Live next door to you, will murder you for a cigarette, will murder you for a car. Their value is gone. No education. The whole education system got to be changed. We got to begin to educate our kids. We got to begin to set up another curriculum to help the kids go to the next level. That's what we're talking about, economic development businesses. In the business. Tonight, I want to ask of you what you think if Dr. King was living, what issue would he be on? Now, I want to tell you, before I'm going to get you on the line. I'm going to start with 2117. What you think Dr. King would be doing if he was living today? I'm going to 2117. You're on the line. You're on. What you think Dr. King would be doing if he was alive?
He probably be, I think he'd be trying to get the United States straightened out, but he might could, but I don't know.
I agree with you that if he was living it, that's one thing he would be doing. She said if Dr. King was living, he would try to straighten out the United States. You're right. Now, I'm at 1794. I got you on the line. If Dr. King was living, what issue you think Dr. King would be taking care of now? This is 1794. You're on. What I'm asking you, young lady, what issue you think Dr. King would be doing now if he was living? I hear you, but you ain't talking loud enough.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on 1794 to come up. I'm going to 8677.
Huh?
What do you think Dr. King would be on?
Yeah,
what do you think he would be saying? What do you think issue you would be on now? 8677. You on?
I'm pretty sure he's got 3 days left. I think he'll come on and go to work, too.
Awesome. You say you think he'd be doing what?
Yeah.
I'm talking to, I got 8677, you're online. What do you think Dr. King would be doing if he was living?
So, lift up stuff all over the house, like no room to put nothing in. And when he puts the second quarter, I'm going to go pretty heavy.
Okay. I'm going to 8138. I'm opening up the line for you. 8138, if Dr. King was living, what do you think he'd be doing? What issue would he have?
I think he would continue to organize nonviolent marches and protests through the power of the black churches and stuff like that.
Okay. I agree with you. That's what Dr. King was living. That's what he was doing. And I want to put a footnote on that. We got leaders now is not doing that. We got ministers is not standing up for all the people. So, and we got women is not taking care of their children. The children just running wild. Okay. And that's some of the stuff happening. Yeah, in the community, not the black community. Look at that man up there killed all of them kids in college. No. And he thought he was so smart he could get away with it, you know, because he was taking up criminology. But the truth come out. I'm going back to 1794. You on now, what do you think Dr. King would be doing if he was living? What issues that he would be moving on? This is 1794. You on. I can't hear that. I don't know what happened. He must have dropped his phone. 8677? Did you come on now? 8677. Did you come on now? I don't know what happened to that. They must have got off. They must have phone must have dropped. Sometimes his phone dropped. I want to thank those that came on tonight and we talked about what's happening with Dr. King and what's going on. And nothing like listening to Dr. King himself talking about the issue. But the speech that I liked, he said we will overcome. And I believe that. And we got a room full of people tonight. But it seemed like it's something about telling the truth. It's like we'll talk about the rappers and go to the book. What about the truth? Living in your name, you can't go get a loaf of bread at night. Somebody gonna stick you up. Here to get a new car, that some kids gonna take the car. That's the kind of negativity that we breathe in now, because the leadership is gone to something else. When Dr. King was living, we had all kind of leadership, but now everybody's scared to leave. They got their hidden agenda. And that's some of the stuff that's going on. That don't much look, when the people in New Orleans, when the blacks in New Orleans was Latrina, a Bush wife and the paper said we were refugees. With all those babies. We refugees out of New Orleans. But the people come from Ukraine, they really refugees. All of them that got the buses that went to New York, they refugees. But ain't now paper, ain't now radio show said they refugees. I'm going to say they are refugees because they're not of this country. We was in the country and lived in the country in New Orleans, and the press, the white press, called us refugees. But they didn't call them people refugees that really refugees. That's what Dr. King talked about. Talk about we have to deal with being honest. And they have worked us. And now here it is, 2023, and you can't hardly go get a loan from the bank. You can't get a loan to get a house. All this stuff going, and they're sending trillions of dollars. trillions of dollars over to a wall that ain't our wall. You see, you know, when you talk about the Republican and the Democrat, both of them doing it. Because they can't do it. They have to be together. They have to okay the money to go. How come black ain't got no money for Haiti when Haiti had the earthquake there? They didn't get no money for Haiti. What happened over in Kenya when them kids were starving and flood? Didn't no money flow over there. I'm telling you, people, it's got to be a change at the top. And God going to change it sooner or later. And I want to thank all of them that came to talk to Rick. And when I talk, they get off the phone. Because they don't, you know, what you're looking for if you don't want to participate with what's going on. You know, they didn't want to participate with the, to what's going on. So, you know, when I asked about, let me see, I got it, 8677. 8677, you're on now. What do you think Dr. King, what issue Dr. King would be on if he was living? Your phone is open.
Dr. King? Dr. King, if he was living?
What would he be doing if he was living?
I can't hear you very good. We got a really bad connection. Can you?
I said, Dr. King, what would he be, what issue would he be taking up now in 2023?
Oh, boy, that'd be a rough one. One of the major ones would be peace and harmony, but also babies, aborted.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Too much hostility between the whites and the blacks and the Hispanics, which he did not believe in any of that. And he would say we have to get back on the right road.
I agree with you there. I agree with you. And this is what he said when he received the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm going to let him say it.
I accept this award today with an abiding faith in America, an audacious faith in the future of mankind. I refuse to accept the idea that man is mere flotsam and jetsam in the river of life, unable to influence the unfolding events which surround him. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war. The bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have 3 meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I accept the Nobel Prize for Peace at a moment when 22 million Negroes of the United States are engaged in a creative battle to end the long night of racial injustice. I accept this award on behalf of the civil rights movement, which is moving with determination and a majestic scorn for risk and danger, to establish a reign of freedom and a rule of justice. I am mindful that only yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, our children crying out for brotherhood were answered with fire hoses, snarling dogs, and even death. I am mindful that only yesterday in Philadelphia, Mississippi, young people seeking to secure the right to vote were brutalized and murdered. I am mindful that debilitating and grinding poverty afflicts my people and chains them to the lowest rung of the economic ladder. Therefore, I must ask why this prize is awarded to a movement which is beleaguered and committed to unrelenting struggle, to a movement which has not yet won the very peace and brotherhood which is the essence of the Nobel Prize. After contemplation, I conclude that this award which I receive on behalf of that movement is a profound recognition that nonviolence is the answer to the crucial political and moral questions of our time. The need for man to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to violence and oppression. Civilization and violence are antithetical concepts. Negroes of the United States, following the people of India, have demonstrated that nonviolence is not sterile passivity, but a powerful moral force which makes for social transformation. Sooner or later, all the peoples of the world will have to discover a way to live together in peace and thereby transform this pending cosmic elegy into a creative psalm of brotherhood. If this is to be achieved, man must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. The tortuous road which has led from Montgomery, Alabama to Oslo bears witness to this truth. This is a road over which millions of Negroes are traveling to find a new sense of dignity. This same road has opened for all Americans a new era of progress and hope. It has led to a new civil rights bill, and it will, I am convinced, be widened and lengthened into a superhighway of justice as Negro and white men in increasing numbers create alliances to overcome their common problems. I refuse to accept despair as the final response to the ambiguities of history. I refuse to accept the idea that the isness of man's present nature makes him morally incapable of reaching up for the eternal oughtness that forever confronts him. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into the hell of nuclear annihilation. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. I believe that even amid today's mortar bursts and whining bullets, there is still hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nations, can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men.
King was telling us that we have to move to another level. We should overcome. And the dream in Washington for the dream.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the highest plane in the dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of all the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring,